It's time for America Outdoors Radio, the show that covers the outdoor scene across the U.S. of A. and the entire continent. Fishing, hunting, conservation, outdoor recreation, and great destinations, we cover it all every week. It's your country, your outdoors. Let's explore it together with your host, John Cruz.
We're starting things off with both some good news and disquieting news from the St. Lawrence River bordering New York and Ontario, Canada. That's where Ontario-based tournament pro Chris Johnston, who you heard from during our show broadcast from the Bassmaster Classic earlier this summer, won a Major League Fishing tournament this month and took home a hefty $39,000 paycheck when he did so. Not only did Chris end up winning this, he was also second place in terms of Angler of the Year among the Bassmaster Elite Tournament Series anglers. There's 60 of them. They're all great anglers. And coming out number two, finishing only behind Minnesota Tournament Pro Seth Feidler. Well, that is quite an accomplishment. Chris, way to go. You are not only a class act, but continue to be one of the world's best anglers. The St. Lawrence is one heck of a smallmouth bass fishery, but it's also known for muskie, too. Unfortunately, muskie seem to be on decline in this river system. That's the news from New York Upstate, which reports netting surveys at spawning areas and catch reports from guides show far less younger muskie are surviving and fewer adults are being caught as well. One reason is the presence of an invasive fish, the round goby, which showed up here in 2005. The fish is host to a fish-killing virus that caused a large die-off of adult muskie between 2005 and 2008. These same gobies also love to eat muskie eggs, which helps explain the decline of young muskellunge on the spawning grounds. Biologists in New York and Canada are now raising muskies in hatcheries and stocking them in an effort to make up for the loss of muskie eggs eaten by these gobies. It's too early to tell if this will work, but let's keep our fingers crossed that it does. This week on America Outdoors Radio, we've got fishing, hunting, and even some short stories coming your way. We'll start things off in just a minute talking to Harry Murray, that longtime owner of Murray's Fly Shop in Edinburgh, Virginia, about trout and smallmouth bass fishing in and around the Shenandoah River. From Virginia, we'll take you north and west to Alaska's famed Kenai Peninsula, where the 5th annual Silver Salmon Derby is taking place on the Kenai River this coming week, and you are invited to participate. This looks to be not only a whole lot of fun for both boat and bank anglers, but it's also a great chance to reel in some delicious hard-finding coho and maybe make some money too. Brittany Brown, the executive director of the Kenai Chamber of Commerce, will tell you more about this just after the bottom of the hour. We'll also be stopping off in flyover country too, the Dakotas to be exact. Kendall DeRushi is putting together a deer camp and youth hunt for 4 South Dakota hunters between the ages of 10 and 12 this hunting season that looks to be a great way to introduce the next generation to hunting. And if you know a kid in this age range in South Dakota, you really should get them to apply for this free opportunity that will likely get them hooked on the sport of deer hunting for a lifetime. Our final guest on the show today is Jeffrey Miller. He's an outdoors writer, hunter, angler, and fur trapper who just came out with a book of short stories called Claussburg, North Dakota, Collected Stories from the Middle of Nowhere. These are fictional stories, but if you're into rural living and the outdoors and enjoy a good yarn or two or three, I think you're going to really enjoy this book, and I can't wait to tell you more about it. Before we head to the Dakotas, though, and go north to Alaska, let's head to Virginia and let's talk fishing. Next up on America Outdoors Radio, we are heading to the beautiful Shenandoah Valley, Edinburgh, Virginia. That's where Murray's Fly Shop is located. And Harry Murray, the owner, is with us here to share some great news. Trout fishing has reopened in Shenandoah National Park. Harry, tell us more about fishing in September.
Yes, John, the fishing in the Shenandoah National Park in September with the water level we have now should be good all through the entire month of September. Now, of course, the trout spawn from October till January, so we don't really fish the park once the fish are starting to spawn. But I think the entire month of September will give us good fishing in the Shenandoah National Park with dry flies such as beetles and ants and Mr. Rapidan, that type thing.
Is this all going to be brook trout fishing, Harry?
Yes, John, this is all wild brook trout. We don't stock any trout in the park. The Shenandoah National Park, I personally feel, is the best fishing we have in Virginia because they're all wild trout.
Well, there's a lot to be said for that. I know you've gotten a lot of rain lately. How is the Shenandoah looking when it comes to smallmouth bass?
Right now, the volume and the color is saying it's not good for bass fishing. I would say the North Fork of the Shenandoah, I checked just a few minutes ago, the North Fork I think will be fishable in a week. The South Fork, which is three times larger, I think it's going to be probably 2 weeks away on that, both in color and volume. Now, once that clears off, John, we get what I call falling waters. And that means the water level is dropping back, the color is clearing up, and that can be some of the finest fishing of the season. So once these two streams start dropping back, I think there's going to be some outstanding smallmouth fishing. They can reach me here at the fly shop in Edinburgh, and I'll have an up-to-date report on that. The number here at the fly shop is 540-984-4212. We will put information on our website as these conditions change and get better. The book that I wrote on the Shenandoah National Park, trout fishing in the Shenandoah National Park, will show them the streams and how to get to them and the hatches. Now, the book I wrote on Virginia's Blue Ribbon Streams, will show them all the access places on the smallmouth rivers as well as some of the trout streams. So it's just a matter of fine-tuning the conditions as our anglers hit it week by week. But there's going to be some excellent fishing here ahead of us throughout the next month.
Well, I'll tell you what, folks, fishing the Shenandoah Valley for trout or bass September, October, I can think of few things that would be more enjoyable. It's just such beautiful country out there. And again, if you want some information, you can go to murraysflyshop.com, contact Harry or his staff at the fly shop, or order one of these books that Harry's written. It'll give you all the information you need to plan a successful trip. One last question. As these rivers clear up, as they fall, what are you offering those smallmouth in terms of streamers or nymphs or whatever to get them to bite?
On the smallmouth, there's no question the Murray's Helgramites are number one. The hogsucker streamer that mimics that real hogsucker is exceptionally good. The sculpin imitations, the Murray's Mad Tom sculpin is matching the natural minnows. That would be real good. Now, in the park, I would go to beetles and ants and inchworms and Mr. Rapid and dry fly, that type thing is what I would use for the trout in the park.
All right. Again, folks, if you find yourself in Edinburgh, Virginia, drop by Murray's Fly Shop. It's on Main Street. Or if you can't get there and just want to get one of these books to go ahead and get information on fishing this area for smallmouth and trout, go to murraysflyshop.com. That's murraysflyshop.com. Or give them a call, Harry and his staff. They'll be happy to help you out. Thanks as always, Harry.
Thank you so much for calling, John.
Stick around. We've got more of the great outdoors coming your way. As we leave this segment, we're going to let you listen to some music from my friend Frank Prenevost. He recorded a great CD a few years back, I Miss Lake Bemidji, and he's got a special song in there, especially for you musky fishing fiends.
He has several friends who live in their boats and think musky fishing's an art. He has all kinds of tackle from Windells and Kent Catch and Northland jigs by the score. And he gets my last dollar with the new hog wobbler before I walk out the door. And I miss Lake Bemidji and all of my buddies and all of the beer we go through. Chucking big bait, making figure eights with musky spinners and lures. Honey, I love you, and that's not a lie. Musky guides all tell the truth. This must be the reason why I miss fishing more than I miss you. This must be the reason why I miss fishing more than I miss you.
Come Come explore the Dalles in Oregon for outdoors fun. Hike amongst the wildflowers, bike our riverfront trail, or visit the Gorge Discovery Center where you can enjoy a live raptor display, or even check out our National Neon Sign Museum. But don't forget the fishing. We've got salmon, steelhead, bass, walleye, and monster-sized sturgeon waiting just for you. When the day is done, tell those tall tales at one of our wineries, breweries, or restaurants, and plan your next adventure. Find out more at explorethedalles.com.
Why book at Sportsman's Cove Lodge?
Why is Alaska like no other place on Earth? It hasn't changed in thousands of years.
From the way you get here on a float plane to the way you go out with the guides and the boats, it's just a professional experience.
And I said, this is as good as it gets. I said, if you can't catch fish here, you can't catch fish anywhere.
Your experience with us will leave you speechless.
Book now at alaskasbestlodge.com.
Campers, adventure seekers, hunters, and foodies. No matter the lifestyle, we can all agree on one thing. Great food and great people are worth remembering. At Camp Chef, we don't just make grills. We create each product knowing that a warm meal is always better when it's shared with those we love. Learn more about Camp Chef grills, smokers, and portable cooking equipment at campchef.com. That's campchef.com for a better way to cook outdoors.
Backcountry Hunters and Anglers, a nationwide group working to keep public lands in public hands. We've helped ban the use of drones for hunting. We help repair wildlife corridors and key riparian areas. We speak up against illegal ATV use. We collaborate with elected leaders to keep public lands in public hands. We're Backcountry Hunters and Anglers, with membership in all 50 states in Canada. Please join this dynamic conservation group. Check us out at backcountryhunters.org.
Welcome back to America Outdoors Radio. I'm John Cruz. Our next stop today is the great state of South Dakota. We're checking in with Kendall DeRushi. She is the president of the Missouri River Corridor Youth Hunt. She's also a game, fish, and parks conservation officer for the state of South Dakota. Kendall, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me.
So, Kendall, we've got you on the air because you're putting something together that I think is really incredible. Four first-time youth deer hunters are going to get a chance December 10th through the 12th to go on a managed youth deer hunt and camp at Brown's Lodge and Hunting Ranch in Gettysburg, South Dakota. Tell our listeners more about this opportunity and how this all came about.
Yeah, absolutely. So here in Gettysburg, South Dakota, we had some very passionate community members that saw an opportunity in our local area to try to recruit some new hunters and get them into the outdoors. Our whole goal of this youth hunt is to spark passion and interest in hunting and conservation in our future generations. And we didn't want to just stop there. We also want to include their parents. We've had some other youth deer hunts in the state that had the same format as this one, so we wanted to pull it up into the north central part of South Dakota. And it's our first kind in South Dakota up in the north central part. So we're holding that December 10th through the 12th. And we are taking four youth deer hunters, and we have not selected anybody yet, but we are looking for applications at this time.
All right, folks. So this is only open to South Dakota hunters, but if you're tuning in today on KBFS AM 1450 out of Belle Forge, or maybe tuning in to KOTA AM 1380 and FM 100.7 out of Rapid City, and you've got a kid that would be interested in going on a youth deer hunt and going to a youth deer camp to boot, this is a great opportunity. Kendall, why don't you go ahead and tell our listeners what this camp's going to look like from start to finish. If a kid signs up and gets picked, how's this going to pan out?
Yeah, absolutely. So we're looking for some first-time youth hunters that have had no experience deer hunting before. They're about 10 to 15 years old, kind of what our age group is that we're taking applications from. And once selected, the participants would arrive at Brown's Hunting Lodge and Ranch on Friday, December 10th, and the late afternoon evening, we'd be going through a hunt safe class, getting them all prepped on their firearm safety and skills and some survival outdoor skills. Then the next day, we are going to have a registration welcome, and they're going to go to the shooting range and learn some more about firearm safety, and they're going to learn how to sight in a rifle, and you know, some have never shot a rifle, so they'll learn how to shoot a rifle and what to expect. We'll have a grab-and-go lunch, and each youth hunter and parent will be paired up with a knowledgeable guide We've got a mixture of conservation officers and just some community members that are avid hunters themselves. And each kid and guardian and guide will go out to a setup blind on land that was graciously, I don't even want to say donated, but allowed us to hunt on those properties. So each crew will go out together, and if they're successful that night, so they'll bring their harvest back and they'll learn how to field dress their animal. And we hope to have at least one the first night so we can teach all the kids together when they get back to the ranch how to prepare the game. And then that first night, we hope to have a wild game feed and some games and some different game processing classes that they can take and learn more about. And then if they aren't successful, they'll go back out hunting Sunday morning, and hopefully we can get every kid to have a successful hunt, and then we'll all reconvene and make sure all the deer are taken care of, and then we'll take that to a local butcher processor for those kids, and they will get their deer back after the processor gets it to us.
This sounds absolutely fantastic. I presume we're talking whitetail deer, and I'm guessing we're not just talking bucks, we're probably talking any deer?
Correct. Yep, we are limited to whitetail antlerless deer in South Dakota here for this youth hunt.
All right. Next question. Do the kids who participate in this, do they have to already have a license? Do they have to have already completed a hunter's ed course before applying?
They do not. So we will run them through a hunt safe course and get them at least somewhat hunt safe certified. And the state of South Dakota Game Fish and Parks will provide the youth deer apprentice licenses for these kids as well.
You know, one of the things, the big challenges we're facing in the hunting community is recruiting this next generation. And I think this is a marvelous way to do this. I understand it's only four hunters this time, but hopefully it's going to be successful. I have no doubt it will. It's going to expand next year. I know something very similar just happened in Washington State a couple of weeks ago. Also a managed youth deer hunt and camp. And I think other states are doing this too. Do you see this as being a trend, a partnership between nonprofits and state agencies to get more kids out in the field, more youth deer camps like this?
Absolutely. You know, we all have passions, and I think in communities, you're going to find those passionate people that really want to see our youth get outdoors and appreciate what we have all had the opportunity to appreciate and be raised with. You know, at these youth hunts, we're not just giving a kid a gun and sending them out on their own. We're pairing them with knowledgeable guides. We're teaching them valuable skills that they need to hunt big game. And, you know, in states, I know some even have waterfowl hunts and pheasant hunts. So, you know, getting these youth members of our communities involved and across our state, and as well as bringing their parent and guardian with them, that just shows the parents and or guardian that they're excited about something and they enjoy it. And hopefully that'll stick and it's not just a one-time activity for them. And hopefully we can recruit and retain some more hunters in the field.
Okay, one last question. I understand the application process is going on right now. What's the deadline to apply, and how do kids get picked, and when will they find out if they're the lucky one that gets to go on this youth deer hunt?
Yeah, absolutely. So you can reach out to us at an email address of mrcyouthhunt@outlook.com, and we'll provide an application. Those are due October 1st. We encourage any kid in the age group or just outside the age group to apply. We have some passionate board members that will sit down and review the applications and select four youth hunters from South Dakota for that. And we should be able to notify them by mid-October so they can make arrangements for December.
Okay, so that email address again, folks, mrcyouthhunts@outlook.com. That's mrcyouthhunts@outlook.com for the Missouri River Corridor Youth Hunt. Again, this is a managed youth deer hunt and camp taking place at Brown's Lodge and Hunting Ranch in Gettysburg, South Dakota, December 10th through the 12th. One last question. Is there any cost for the kids and their parents to attend?
There's absolutely no cost associated with this. So between generous donations for our local community members and Brown's Lodge and Hunting Ranch, as well as fundraising on the board members of the Missouri River Corridor, we have raised enough funds and donations that the kids and parents will eat free, stay free. The only cost to them is to get themselves out to the youth hunt and back home. And we supply all the equipment. So the kids will get to take some loaded packs home with them that includes some different gear you need for hunting. They'll get a gun and they'll get binoculars to borrow for the youth hunt. And they'll be sent home with some awesome new packs filled with things that they need to go on a big game hunt when they get back home.
Boy, oh boy. Folks, it doesn't get much better than this if you want to get a kid into deer hunting. Again, if you're tuning in today from our affiliates at KBFS AM 1450 out of Belle Fourche or KOTA AM 1380 or 100.7 FM out of Rapid City, and you know a kid who wants to get into hunting, this is definitely the opportunity. Again, through the Missouri River Corridor Youth Hunt, the email address again to go to one more time, Kendall.
The email address is mrcyouthhunt@outlook.com, or you can reach out to me on my cell phone number at 605-730-1568.
That's mrcyouthhunts@outlook.com. Again, sign up now for the Missouri River Corridor Youth Hunt if you live in South Dakota and you've got a kid that's interested. And if you live outside of South Dakota, contact your local state DNR or Fish and Game or Fish and Wildlife Agency and see if they would be interested in putting on something similar. I think this is a great idea and a great trend that can get more kids into hunting. Kendall, thanks for what you do, and I hope this is a very successful event.
Thanks for having me.
Ready to step up to a quality-built rifle or shotgun that's a true classic? Check out Henry Repeating Arms, American-made. There's over 200 models to choose from in a variety of finishes and calibers for hunters and target shooters. Many of these are lever-action models with a look right out of the Old West. Don't be deceived, though. Henry Repeating Arms are modern, rugged, accurate, reliable, and have a lifetime guarantee. Find out more and order a free catalog today at henryusa.com. That's henryusa.com.
Why book at Sportsman's Cove Lodge?
Why is Alaska like no other place on Earth? It hasn't changed in thousands of years.
From the way you get here on a float plane to the way you go out with the guides and the boats, it's just a professional experience.
And I said, this is as good as it gets. I said, if you can't catch fish here, you can't catch fish anywhere.
Your experience with us will leave you speechless.
Book now at alaskasbestlodge.com.
Welcome back to America Outdoors Radio. I'm John Cruz. Our next stop is taking you north to Alaska to the famed Kenai Peninsula. That's where the 5th annual Silver Salmon Derby is taking place September 14th through the 19th. With us here to tell you more about it is Brittany Brown. She's the executive director of the Kenai Chamber of Commerce. Brittany, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Again, this has been going on 5 years, very exciting event, and of course the Kenai River is known as one of the best salmon fishing rivers in all of the United States. Let's talk about how this Salmon Derby works, because it's not the biggest fish that wins the prize, is it?
No, it's not, which is really where we built this off of, right? We call it the world's most responsible fishing tournament, and we say that because it reduces selective fishing practices, which lead to catch and release injuries, which we're trying to avoid. So for this tournament, it's not about how big your fish is necessarily, it's just how much you participate. So coming into the tournament, participating every day in fishing until you catch your limit, which right now is 3 per person. So if you're fishing every day, Tuesday, September 14th till Sunday, September 19th, and you're catching all of your fish and you're bringing them in to get weighed, you're more likely to win either a daily prize or the overall prize.
Now, the weight is a randomly weight, and I understand there's a wheel you spin to determine that weight. Is that right?
Yes, there is. So every day at the close of the Derby Day, there's a daily, what we call it, magic weight that is randomly generated. And we use 2 wheels of identical size. And the first wheel is numbered 4 through 14 and is spun once to signify the pounds. And then we have a second wheel, which is numbered 0 through 9, which is spun once to signify the 10th of a pound, and then is spun a second time to signify the 100th of a pound. So we will spin that at the end of the day, and each person is put into the drawing list depending on that day if they participated, and then the person who's closest to that magic number that is spun is the winner. So again, not the biggest fish, but it's whoever's closest to that magic weight.
Oh, I absolutely love this. So let's talk about the prizes. If you get that daily weight, what do you get? And are there pay downs for other prizes as well on a daily basis?
So we have two categories. We have the adult category and the youth category, and they're running simultaneously. And youth is 16 and under, adult is 17 and over. So daily adult awards is $100, and daily youth awards is $50. So if you win that daily magic weight, then you get that cash out. And then at the end of the derby is when we pull for the overall award, which all of your weights that you have submitted throughout the entire derby are all put into this overall award category. So you have more chances the more times you participate. So if you're participating every day with those three weights every day, you're catching your three fish, you have more of a chance to win the overall prize. And so the adult overall award is $5,000 this year. And then the youth overall award this year is $1,000.
Oh, this sounds like a ton of fun. So the next question is this: where do folks buy a ticket? How much does it cost?
Absolutely. So we have three locations for ticket purchase, which is Three Bears, our grocery store in Kenai, the Sportsman's Warehouse in Soldotna, and then the Kenai Chamber of Commerce and Visitor Center here in Kenai as well. So there's three different locations you can purchase your ticket. You can purchase a daily ticket, which is $10, or you can purchase an entire derby ticket, which is $50. So by purchasing the full derby ticket, you're saving about $10.
Now, we've got listeners tuning in today on KBYR out of Anchorage. What's the commute time from Anchorage down to the Kenai River where they can take place in this derby?
Well, you know, during our construction season, which we like to call our summer season, it's all kind of up in the air depending on what's happening on the road. But roughly 2.5 hours from Anchorage to Kenai and Soldotna area.
Definitely worth the drive, that's for sure. Now, you're using these funds, obviously, to pay the prizes, but you've got some extra, too. And I understand this is going towards habitat work to make sure you get more salmon in the future. Tell our listeners more about this.
Yeah, so the net proceeds from the derby go to the Kenai Community Foundation, which is a 501c3 nonprofit based here in Kenai. And the Kenai Community Foundation uses these funds for management and protection of riverbanks, as well as, you know, improve wetland access and educational signage and development and improvement of bird viewing platforms, as well as improvements in the Cunningham Park. So a lot of different ways in which those funds are being used to help maintain the areas in which we fish.
You got to love this. I mean, number one, you get a chance to go fishing, catch silver salmon, hopefully win some prize money, and Evie, if you don't, it's going towards a great cause. And let's talk a little bit about fishing this year. Now, we're kind of emerging from the shadow of COVID. Restrictions are certainly less, especially for out-of-state residents than last year. How crowded has it been on the Kenai River so far this summer?
It's been packed. It's been amazing to see after such a crazy year of COVID. Having all of the people coming back into our community has been such a blessing. But for the rivers, as most guides are probably saying right now, is the water is crazy. A lot of people on the banks, a lot of people in boats. We're seeing fishing guides just jam-packed through the end of the season and even further on as people are still wanting to take advantage of the good run we're seeing. So we've got a lot of people who are on that water looking to catch some fish.
Well, there's so many fish to catch on the Kenai, whether it's the Chinook earlier, or the sockeye or the rainbow trout, and now the silvers. How is the silver salmon run shaping up this year?
It's looking pretty good right now. You know, you have your tough days, you know, weather dependent, tide dependent. I mean, there's a lot of factors coming into play here, but we're seeing a lot of people out there catching their limits.
Now, I know you're not a fishing guy. You're the executive director of the Chamber of Commerce, but but if you know, what's the standard thing they're using to catch fish from shore and from the boat? I mean, from shore, are they tossing like, you know, number five blue fox spinners or what?
Well, you know what? To be honest, I can't really tell you. Everybody's a little bit different in how they fish. And so, you know, you have people fishing different things on the bank versus on the boat, sitting on anchor. I can't really tell you that.
However,
that was my career.
That's all right. I do know, though, if you stop by that Sportsman's Warehouse store, any other sporting goods store in Kenai, they're going to fill you in. They're going to steer you towards the tackle you need, whether you're fishing from the bank, whether you're fishing from the boat. And there might, just might, be a few guys openings available, especially if there's cancellations. So check that out too. I'm guessing you've got a member list of guides and hotels and B&Bs and everything else on your Chamber of Commerce website.
Yes, we do. I encourage folks who are interested in looking at places to stay, where to go, fishing guides, charters. They can get on the Kenai Chamber website, www.kenaichamber.org, and you can find our member list, which will show you all the places and things to do and who to talk to.
One last question, and this goes beyond the annual Silver Salmon Derby taking place the 14th through the 19th. What is there for folks to do in October, maybe early November on the Kenai Peninsula?
Oh, there's a ton. I mean, if you're just even just talking about the view over here, getting on the trails out here, the biking trails, getting even down on the beach, which is we had articles written about the beach here in Kenai and how beautiful it was, is one of the top 5 beaches in the country. It's just so different than any other place. And so being able to go bird hunting, that's coming up here soon. And so there's a lot of different opportunities to get out hunting, sightseeing, getting on the water, going on a boat ride, kayaking, that's still a thing right now. So for anybody who's interested, there's still a bunch of outdoor activities left to participate in.
All right. What is the website for the Kenai Chamber of Commerce?
So the website is www.kenaichamber.org.
That's kenaichamber.org. Check out everything that's available there on the Kenai Peninsula. And if you want more information on the Kenai Silver Salmon Derby, again, taking place September 14th through the 19th. The website to go to, KenaiSilverSalmonDerby.com. That's KenaiSilverSalmonDerby.com. Check it out. Go fishing. Have some fun and enjoy everything the Kenai Peninsula has to offer for you in Alaska this fall. Brittany, thanks so much for sharing this with us today on America Outdoors Radio.
Thank you.
You know, I'm heading down to one of my favorite events I get to attend every year. It's in the Columbia River Gorge, bordering Washington and Oregon. It's called Fish Camp. It's a meeting of outdoors writers and fishing guides and tournament anglers and manufacturers who are in the fishing and outdoors industry. One of those manufacturers is Worksharp. They're there every year, and I'll tell you what, their knife and tool sharpeners, they are used by just about every angler in camp, and I'll tell you why. We go out every day, and we are catching Chinook salmon. We are catching walleye. We are catching bass. We're catching all sorts of other fish, and those fish, they are brought into camp, and they are filleted, and they are clean, and we're talking a whole bunch of fish, which means you got to keep those fillet knives sharp, and the way to do it is with both the manual and electric knife sharpeners provided by Worksharp Tools. If you need to have a sharp knife while you're fishing, you're going to want one of these sharpeners from Worksharp. And the website to go to is worksharptools.com. You can see the entire lineup there. And you can also find knife sharpeners from Worksharp at stores all over North America. Ranch and home stores, hardware stores, sporting goods stores, and a whole lot more. Look for Worksharp Tools. They're a great company, and they will keep that knife of yours sharp so you can clean all those fish you're going to catch this fall, whether it be in the Columbia River Gorge or anywhere else in our United States.
Hey, how'd the meeting go with Tommy's school counselor today?
Well, not exactly as planned. I think we need help.
Help? Why do we need help?
Well, I asked her about paying for college, and she said that's not something they do.
Maybe it is time to get some help. Even if Tommy just goes to state college, it's going to cost at least $25,000 a year. We'll have to raid our retirement and pay for Tommy's tuition. There's got to be a better way.
There is a better way. A way where you can pay less for college, or even receive college tuition free, regardless of your income or your students' grades. A way for you to keep your hard-earned income and savings for your future and spend less on college, while virtually eliminating the need for student loans. Get the facts about college admissions and tuition by going to tuitionprograms.org. That's tuitionprograms.org. Tuitionprograms.org. Get the facts about college admissions and tuition by going to tuitionprograms.org.
We love our children. We protect them. We guide them. We prepare them for life in the world. With all that we do from deep in our hearts, we cannot control all things. Life-threatening illnesses and disabilities affect far too many of our children each year. While we cannot change the circumstances, we can make dreams come true. Dreams to provide hope, to provide spiritual healing and strength, to provide moments of happiness and relief in the darkest of times. We can give a glimmer of light and hope in a time of darkness and despair. Join huntofalifetime.org to help make dreams come true, to provide hope for children with life-threatening illnesses and disabilities. Hunt of a Lifetime is a nonprofit organization fulfilling dreams for hunting and fishing trips to youth 21 and under with life-threatening illnesses and disabilities. Visit huntofalifetime.org to learn how you can make a difference. That's huntofalifetime.org.
Our next guest on America Outdoors Radio is Jeffrey Miller. He's a writer, he's an angler, he's a hunter, he's a fur trapper, he hails from North Dakota, and he's got a brand new book out that we're going to talk about. It's called Klossberg, North Dakota, Collected Stories from the Middle of Nowhere. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Thanks, John. I appreciate it. I'm happy to be here.
I guess the first thing we need to talk about is that this is a work of fiction. I immediately Googled Klossberg, North Dakota to find out where it was and found out it doesn't exist, does it?
Nope, it doesn't exist. It's a fictional town in somewhere in North Dakota. And, you know, it's just probably kind of a conglomeration of all kinds of little towns in North Dakota.
This is a collection of short stories, and I'll be honest, I love short stories. I'm that guy who, as a young man, always carried around the Nick Adams stories from Ernest Hemingway and read them every chance I got. And so your short stories are really speaking to me here. They're very well written. Why don't you tell our listeners what some of them are about?
Okay, so there's kind of a wide range of living in a small town. You know, there's a couple stories about an older farmer gentleman named Hansen. And then a younger boy named Kyle. And the first story is called The Trespasser that has them in there. And Kyle's actually trespassing on his land fur trapping. And rather than kicking him off, Hansen kind of takes him under his wing and teaches him what it's like to be a trapper. There's some other maybe a little bit headier topics. There's a story about a divorce, a man that goes through a divorce and kind of reassesses his life. And there's a story about a lake cabin. So in especially in western Minnesota, lake cabins are very popular. Most people have lake cabins, go there in the summer. And this is kind of a long arching story about a lake cabin owner and what happens at the end of her life. So yeah, I kind of tried to write, you know, a wide variety of things. I didn't want it just to be hunting and fishing because I felt that would maybe limit the audience. But, you know, in rural North Dakota, you know, hunting and fishing is very popular. So most people, even if they don't hunt or fish, they have somebody in their family or a spouse or a child that does. So I wanted to kind of cover all the bases.
What I've really enjoyed so far reading these stories is that you're right. It's not about hunting. It's not about fishing. It's not about trapping. Though a lot of these activities are woven through the stories like a tapestry, for lack of a better word. And it's really about rural life. It's really about growing up in a place where, you know, nature is abundant and that the plains are out there. It's not big city life by any means. And it's a whole different world for a lot of our readers. I mean, let's face it. Most people these days, they live in the cities, or they live in the suburbs, or they live in towns. Most people don't live in quiet little places on farms in the middle of nowhere.
Right. Yeah, it's a different world, you know. Even in North Dakota, even the big cities, by most people's standards, are pretty small. So, you know, one of my really good buddies that I duck hunt with, his graduating class of high school had 7 people in it. So,
wow.
You know, that's it's a different world. And, you know, but at the end of the day, what I've learned is that no matter where people are at, we all have the same life experiences, whether you live in a little town in North Dakota or you live in a large metropolis like Chicago, right? Everybody kind of has the same hopes, desires, dreams in their life. And life is kind of a mix of ups and downs and everything in between. And that's kind of what I wanted to showcase here was the happiness, the sadness, and even the mundane, because that's a big part of life as well.
It really is. Carl Sandburg couldn't have written it better himself. It's a poem. So let's talk a little bit more about Clasburg, North Dakota, collected stories from the middle of nowhere. What inspired you to write this? I mean, you've got a background as a writer for outdoors magazines when it comes to fishing and hunting. What inspired you to write these short stories about rural life and rural America?
So I've always enjoyed, similar to you, enjoyed reading short stories. I've devoured every short story Stephen King has ever written. I'm a big fan of Thomas McGuane out of Montana. And one day I was kind of in between assignments. It was the wintertime. And I just sat down and kind of wanted to write a story just for myself to see if I could do it. And I wrote it. And that it was actually 30 paces. That was the first one I wrote. And I kind of did it as a one-off just for myself. And my significant other, Melanie, read it. And she kind of encouraged me to kind of expand on writing. And after I'd written a couple, I had the idea of centering them around this fictitious town, kind of like Garrison Keillor did with Lake Wobegon, or
sure,
Stephen King did with Castle Rock. And I didn't want it to be about the town, but I wanted it to have a little bit of geographical rooting. So it took me about a year and a half to write it. I didn't write them all at once. I would write here and there when I was between assignments or didn't have kids' activities or something going on. And before I knew it, I had about 9 stories written. And Melanie kind of said, well, you know, let's try to finish this off, because she does all my editing. And I sat down for, a week this early summer and knocked them out. And, you know, kind of went through. There was a couple that just didn't fit well. You know, there was a couple that needed to be rewritten. There was a couple that we barely touched. It was done. So it was kind of a variety of different takes on it. But after it was done, then I kind of sat back and thought, well, now maybe I should try to do something with this. So that's how I ended up going to Amazon and self-publishing it.
Last question. Can we expect to see more stories coming out of Clasburg, North Dakota, with some of the characters?
Yes, I think so. I think there's going to be some more coming. I think the next book I'm hoping to do is going to be kind of a collection of my nonfiction, my hunting and fishing and trapping and gardening stories. I'm just about to 50 published, so I figure that's going to be a good milestone to collect some in book form. And then I'm going to probably revisit Clasburg. I'm kind of curious to see what happens with Hanson and Kyle down the road. And a couple of the other characters, I think, still have some ground to be examined. So I'm kind of excited to go back.
Well, I can't wait to read the new stories. And in the meantime, folks, if you want to check out the current stories from Jeffrey Miller's first book, just go to Amazon.com, look for Clasburg, North Dakota, collected stories from the middle of nowhere. I think you're going to enjoy this collection of short stories just like I am. Whether you are an angler or a trapper or a hunter or just someone who wants to immerse themselves in rural living and rural life here in our great United States. Jeff, great job on the book, and I look forward to having you on the air again when the next book comes out too.
Thank you, John. I really appreciate it.
This portion of the show was brought to you by Henry Repeating Arms, and if you're looking for a great firearm for white-tailed deer this year, consider a lever-action rifle from Henry. Whether it be the Henry Long Ranger chambered in 243-308, or like mine, a 6.5 Creedmoor, or maybe a 30-30 lever-action rifle, they've got several models in that caliber that's perfect for close-range white-tailed deer shooting and black-tailed deer shooting, too. There are plenty of models to choose from. You can find them at henryusa.com, and you're going to love these rifles. They're all made in America. They're all rugged. They're reliable. They look great. They shoot great. And every one of them has a lifetime satisfaction guarantee. If you want to find out more, check out the entire lineup. Go to henryusa.com and look for a dealer near you. And if you have any questions, just contact the award-winning customer service staff. And don't forget to ask for your free decals and catalog while you're there. That's henryusa.com for Henry Repeating Arms. With hunting seasons beginning to get underway, we've got word from Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks that you better expect to see bears out there, especially in Montana. Grizzly bears have the potential to be found anywhere in the western two-thirds of Montana, and their distribution is denser and more widespread than in previous years. Some areas with dense concentrations of grizzly bears are very accessible to hunters, especially during the archery season. So keep these precautions in mind if you're going to be hunting in grizzly country. Number one, carry and know how to use bear spray and keep it within easy reach, and be prepared to use it immediately. Stay alert, especially when when hearing or visibility is limited. Watch for environmental indicators of recent bear activity. If there's abundant fresh sign of grizzly bears in the area, you might want to hunt somewhere else. Travel and hunt in groups wherever possible. This can help make casual noise to alert bears to your presence and may also increase your chances of survival in the event of a bear attack. Be sure to follow all food storage regulations and contact the applicable land management agency, whether it be the Forest Service or Bureau of Land Management, to learn what the food storage rules are where you're going to be hunting. In addition to this, you want to avoid carcass sites and concentrations of ravens and other scavengers. Those are all bad news and are sure to attract a grizzly bear. You'll also want to carry the equipment you need to process a carcass of any game you get down and get it out of the field as quickly as possible. Do all these things and your chances of being safe while hunting in grizzly country are a lot better. And a lot of this advice also applies to brown bears and black bears too. As we wrap things up, I would ask you to consider supporting the sponsors that help us to bring you this show every week. That includes Henry Repeating Arms, WorkSharp Tools and Knife Sharpeners, the Dalles Chamber of Commerce, Sportsman's Cove Lodge in Southeast Alaska, Hunt of a Lifetime, and Camp Chef. As I said last week, I'm all busted up with a broken leg, but I'm at least hoping to see a few of my fishing friends, even if I can't go fishing, at the annual fish camp I attend every September in the Columbia River Gorge, bordering Oregon and Washington near the Dalles. I'm looking forward to at least getting outside and hearing some fish stories, even if I can't be casting myself. Here's hoping there's some fishing, hunting, and outdoors adventure waiting for you too during this beautiful month of September. It's really one of the very best months to be outside. Until next time, do be blessed, do stay healthy, and remember this. It is your country and your outdoors, so get out there and enjoy it.